When you think of places that are extremely dry, the desert comes to mind, or parts of the American West where there have been large and dangerous wildfires. But drought looks very different in a temperate rainforest. And in one of those rainforests in southeast Alaska, one tribal community whose way of life depends on abundant rain is trying to adapt. From Alaska's Energy Desk, Elizabeth Jenkins reports.
The community of Metlakatla sits on the Annette Island Reserve on Alaska's far southeastern coast. There's a common saying here, the precipitation that feeds Metlakatla's lakes is some of the best-tasting drinking water in the world. Gavin Hudson, who serves on Metlakatla's tribal council, says having an abundance of water is part of the culture.
And the Tsimshian have always been people of the water, people of the salmon.
Hudson says people have been noting it's getting drier, and they've seen the resulting changes, like low salmon returns in streams typically cooled by rain, and blueberry bushes that haven't been as plump or abundant. And a big difference, grown-ups haven't been able to fall back on a familiar joke they would say with a wink.
The usual thing that you would hear is, Mom, Dad, can I go swimming down on the beach? And their response would be, is there still snow on the mountain?
The catch, he says, there used to almost always be snow on top of the mountain, all the way through July.
Now we don't say that. Even if we do get some snow, it's not deep. It's not snowpack, it's just the light dusting. That's unusual.
Snowmelt helps feed Metlakatla's lakes. It's like money in the bank. But recently, there's been more climate variability, less snow and rain. Hudson says all of this has been making the community feel uneasy.
I think most of our people who just want to provide for their families, I think those folks have just another thing to worry about. Higher light bills, oceans that are changing, forests that are changing.
The high light bills are because Metlakatla, population of about 1,500, is primarily run on hydropower, which the drought has taken a toll on. Carl Gobb has worked at Metlakatla Power and Light for more than 30 years.
Voila, I put this building together.
And over those years, he's seen a combination of events unfold that make supplying enough power to his community more difficult. Businesses like a local sawmill paid a premium to tap into the town's hydro-powered microgrid. In years with low precipitation, that helped the electric company buy enough diesel to burn to keep the lights on. But the sawmill is closed. A local fish packing plant recently shut its doors, too. And in the last few years, the Metlakatla Indian community is having to figure out how to adjust to a new identity. An island surrounded by water and in the middle of a severe drought.
I just pray that it never happens like this again.
Janelle Winter is Metlakatla's climate and energy grant coordinator. She noticed a dramatic shift after hiking up a mountain to scope out the community's main reservoirs.
When you could see all three of those dams and you could literally walk across that channel on the old 27 dam, you're like, this is not a normal condition and you probably should never be able to do that.
You shouldn't be able to do that, she says, because you would be completely soaked. At first, Winter says she struggled with how to describe the unusually dry conditions. It just felt
wrong, that you could be in a temperate rainforest and be in a drought.
But a phone call from the National Weather Service last year finally gave her a way to put the experience into words. The agency told her, yes, you are officially in a severe drought, and so are other communities in southeast Alaska.
Really helped us to define and take even more ownership of what was going on, that this was something that we needed to learn how to deal with now so that when we met the challenge again in the future, we would already know how to do it.
Still, Winter says she knew the community needed to scale back its energy use to build its reservoirs back up. For a time, that's meant using diesel fuel instead of hydro to power the community. Metlakatla received funding from the Bureau of Indian Affairs for a one-time purchase of bulk fuel, which can be as high as $4 a gallon. Winter says that's been a big help restoring the levels of the lakes. The community has cut its water use in half since 2016. But Metlakatla isn't out of the woods yet. One of its newest diesel generators broke last year, resulting in an emergency declaration. If another extremely dry spell comes along, the town will have to rely on a generator that's more than 30 years old. As for today, though, the community is back on hydro. Recent rains have eased the drought conditions to abnormally dry.
This is Walden Point Road.
On a final stop, Winter points to a landmark waterfall cascading down the mountain. It's likely spillover from one of the main reservoirs. During the worst parts of the drought, this waterfall was dry. The flow should be a happy sight, but Winter says it's more complicated than that.
I used to just see it as this beautiful thing, and now wish that we could capture that water somehow.
Melikala is in the process of figuring out how it can raise the levels of the reservoir to hold more precipitation. The current system, constructed with the understanding there would always be enough water, was built for a different time. For Here and Now, I'm Elizabeth Jenkins in Melikala, Alaska.